All right, guys. My official good afternoon for all of you guys who are here. Good evening or good morning for people who are watching later, right? Because this is recorded.
I think it's being recorded, yes.
Yeah, this is being recorded, so they are going to watch this later. Welcome to our exam prep session on developing for Azure. My name is Armando Lacerda, and I have here my friend Mark.
My name's on the sign out front, so I decided I'd hang out for a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to go eat lunch. I did the last session, so.
Mark has presented two exam prep sessions already this Ignite, and our coordinator made me say Mark needs to relieve himself, so they invite me to be here.
I'm not sure if that was the right way to phrase that or not.
There we go, already said. All right, friends. So again, my name is, I have a slide about that. There we go. My name is Armando Lacerda, and a little words about me. I'm from Brazil, so this accent is not a Spanish accent, it's Brazilian Portuguese from Rio de Janeiro accent. And I got some, my contacts are not there. Meet me after the session, and I give you my business cards, got my email, my Twitter handle, and everything else, all right? Mark also has his contact. You got any business card there? All right, so, and this session is all about the exam 7532, which is developing web solutions, right? Developing web solutions for Azure. And we're going to work here together, see what's in there, and how you can better prepare yourself for the exam. So a little disclaimer here at the beginning. This particular session is not exactly about the technology, although we'll be talking about the technology all along, but the session is about answer a particular kind of question we get a lot just across the hallway on the exam preparation section area there, and also at the learning booth at the exhibit hall. And the question, or you know, the statements we get is like that: I don't understand why I failed my exam. You know, how come I didn't fail my test? You know, I work with this thing day in, day out. And, you know, I work for my company for that many years, and this thing is working. I know how to do this thing. But when I go for the test or for the exam, I failed it. How did I fail? And how does this happen? And the other kind of comment I get a lot is like, I took that exam. That exam is really bad. You know, the questions are very, you know, not well written. You see, I got a nod here. those questions are not very well written. It's really not good. And by the way, this guy here in the blue shirt is my friend, Rafael. I asked him to take some pictures for my collection. So thank you, Rafael. So, so this question looks like, you know, weird question and so on. How is this thing there? And the bottom line of this, you know, just to get started on the right foot in here, the bottom line of this is this. Most people, when they face this particular situation, they found themselves, outward in these words. What's happening there is they think or they prepare for the exam, for the test, like they would prepare for a day of work, you know, in their job. And they have the mindset about the things what they use in their particular scenario, in their particular context. And what the exam is really about is, of course, about the real world, but not a particular scenario or a particular context. But it's about the technology being applied to a particular context. So to better prepare for an exam and to pass the exam, what you got to do, the mindset you got to, you know, set yourself on is, I must abstract from my work, I must abstract from my college, you know, whatever you're doing, and I must focus on the product and what the product can do. In our case, in the technology and development for Azure and what it does. But then you can come, specifically for Azure, you can come after me and say, Armando, Azure is kind of too big and it's changing all the time. How do I prep for that? So we're going to get into these details as we move along in the slides, right? I do have some screenshots in here. In this particular kind of session, we don't do demos because we have a lot of topics to cover, and demos sometimes they're too time consuming. But I do have some screenshots in here so we can discuss either in the portal or in the code. So that's a little bit about me, and this is a little bit about the session. Whoops, got trapped in here. So yeah, remember this is all confidential here. It's going to be, I don't know why they put this line there, because this is going to be on the community site, the Microsoft community site, the new one that they rolled out in here, right? Have you seen Channel 9 around? Channel 9 didn't came this time around, right? They're not here, right? All the contents are available on the Microsoft community website. And if you haven't seen it yet, there where we take our lunch, right? You go back there, and all the way to the back where they do that 3D thinking there, they can explain you better on that one. All right, so what's the goal here? What's the session objectives? Is to give you guidance to prepare yourself to take the exam and pass it. In order to do that, we're going to give you some study strategies and some reveals of the technology and things you should pay attention to before you go for the test, and some concepts that are what comes in the exam. All right, so some words about Microsoft's certification. Have you learned that Microsoft certification has just changed last Monday, right? It became more simple and streamlined. This is the fourth year I'm helping with certification, the certification booth, and helping people to get aware about how to get certified. And this particular year, everything has changed. I mean, it has been applied a major change in the certification plan. It used to be like a subway map, you know, full of forks. Now it's pretty streamlined. Make a note, go to borntolearn.mslearn.net is the Microsoft Learning website, right? And you get all the information in there. So, but the goal of any of the exams, regardless of the tracks and the remodeling they do, is for the exam to be relevant. And again, relevant in what context? In the context of you be skilled on what the technology can do, right? It is relevant not for a particular scenario, it's relevant for any scenario as long as you understand what the technology can do. So that's the relevance of the exam. There is, you know, this thing about recertification is changing, but there is this thing about the rigor. And the rigor there is, you know, we don't want anybody, we want everybody to pass, but we don't want anybody to pass, if that makes sense, right? We want everybody to pass. We want you to get certified. We want you to get in your resume and your LinkedIn profile, because Microsoft Learning talks to LinkedIn, so you can get all your certifications in there. I got my ones in there. You can take a look at that later, right? Find me on LinkedIn later, Armando Lacerda. So they can get other certifications in there. So you see, Microsoft says that I know this business. That's what the exam is all about, right? Microsoft is telling people that I know about this business. But you must know about the business. So there will be not tricky elements in the questions. There are no trick questions. But there are elements in the questions that may confuse you. And I will be into that in a bit. So yeah, get ready to learn and get in your brain every single detailed aspect of whatever technology you're certifying to. In our case here for development, what we have to have in mind very clear before going to an exam is namings. I mean, I got used to IntelliSense. Who here is a developer? I expect everybody, right? But just to make sure. Who here is a developer? So we got used to IntelliSense, right? I mean, even PowerShell got this nowadays. You know, SQL Server got this nowadays. So IntelliSense is a great tool. And sometimes I know what I want to just start typing and then I select what I need. But on the exam, there is no typing. So there is no, you know, IntelliSense helping you there. You gotta be clear about the names and avoid getting tricked by you know, weird names or names that look alike. So it's increasing rigor, and I kind of mentioned that already. There are new item types. What they mean about item types, item in the exam lingo is the question, right? So you get the question in there and the way to answer the question. So if you go online You go to, again, to the MCP website, either Born to Learn or mcp.microsoft.com, and you're searching there. If you have trouble finding it, email me, I will give you the link. There is a link in there that lists, you know, there is a video showing how the exam questions or the exam items behave. So there are, some of them are drag and drop, some of them is like a combo box, you have to select one option in there. Some of them is like multiple choices or single choice. And there is another one that's a drag and drop thing that you have to put the elements in the right order. So, you know, I highly recommend you to either take a look at these videos online or go just across the hallway here to the exam prep, right? They got some measure up machines there set up for you for free, and you can kind of feel how the exam looks like, right? One particular word about the measure up. A lot of people also complain. If you Google it, you're gonna see people complaining. You know, got this test simulators, and you know they either give you the actual exam or they are just too weak, too distant from the real exam. Well, if you get one that's telling you that they're giving you the right exam, you know, the real exam, that's cheating, right? That's called cheating. Not a good idea. You're not proving that you know anything, but the big brain that's able to memorize things in between 48 hours, which most people can do, right? So don't go for that. But MeasureUp is a Microsoft partner, and they hire people. They're not the same people who write the exams, and they go on the same topics you go in here. You see, let's make questions about these topics. Kind of the same style you see in a real exam, but the interface is a little different, right? I use it for preparation. When I'm going to take the test, I use it for preparation, and it has helped me a lot to understand the dynamics, you know, and other people also have taken advantage of it. The basics about the exam is about 4 to 6 questions. We're not supposed to talk about what we see in our exams, so I cannot tell you how many questions that I have on my one. It's kind of an NDA thing, right? It is actually an NDA thing that you sign up when you go for the exam, but it's around that. This particular exam, it involves not just single items, single questions, like you got a question in there, you got the options for the answers. It's not just this one, but it will also contain scenarios. There's a great chance that it will contain some scenarios for you to read the context of the company, you know, the business requirements, the technical requirements, and some extra details, networking requirements, and things like that. And then there will be a sequence in between 4 or 6 questions for that particular study case or that particular scenario, right? And you may have 3, 4, 5 of them, depending how many questions you have in your test. And to pass the test, you have to score 700. But look carefully, 700, I'm going to use the mouse here so this can be recorded, right? Where's my mouse? Here. So 700 is not 70% of the questions in your test. These questions, they are weighted, all right? And there is a, you know, a scale for each one of them. And there is a, you know, a bunch of professionals down there in Microsoft doing this scaling thing. And there is a video also on YouTube posted by Liberty Musson. She's great. She's the one that oversees all of this and all involved, right, in this process. So take a look on that, right? Take a look on Liberty's video on YouTube if you want to understand better what 700 means. But it's not 70%. So don't do math, right? When you go for the exam, oh, I got 45 questions in my exam, so if I get like 30-something right, I'm going to pass. It's not like that, okay? Don't stress yourself out doing this math there. You need to use your time in a better way. So each exam has a cut score, 700 usually, and exam questions is worth 1 point on this weight thing, and no partial credit and no points deducted if you answer it wrong. So the exams are timed. You have like this particular one, I think, is 150 minutes to do the questions and remarks, comments, if you like to comment out some of the questions. You can dispute these questions, but that's a more involving process. But if you never leave, what they're trying to say here is never leave a question unanswered, right? You're not going to be deducted any point if you get it wrong, right, in case you don't know the answer. Yeah, so how to, this is important, how to understand how to interpret a question. All questions, that's how these people who write these questions, they are oriented to write these questions. All questions, they have these portions. There's always some business statement, and it goes like, you know, you work for company X runs this particular business, right? So there's a business statement and a particular problem to solve. There will be a goal, you know, what we are supposed to achieve, that, you know, may or may not be related to the goal, but there is a goal in there. There will be the options for you to answer, like I said, multiple interface for these options. And here's the point where people come and say, oh, this, you know, this exams and the questions they have there, they are weird. And, you know, it seems like tricky because of this. In exam items, we have things they called distractors. What are distractors? Distractors are, welcome guys.
Hey.
Distractors are elements, you know, statements or points or details, text details in the item meant to distract you, to, you know, deviate you from the main goal. Or it's completely not related to the business problem, or it doesn't address anything in the questions, right? In the answers for that particular question. So that's the point, you know, it's a very important thing to figure out, to understand, to pinpoint in a question, the distractors that are there in the question. They usually are there, right? Again, we cannot say anything for sure because we cannot disclose what's in there, but they usually are there, right? So apply yourself, say, okay, this thing here doesn't seem to be really related to the question. So questions are not intended to trick you. They're not, but they will try to confuse you, because if you really don't know your business, you will be distracted and you will fail. And that's the goal, to pass, right? That's the goal, to pass. All right, you're awake, that's good. Here's an example. I just got this one this week. Someone sent me through Facebook, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna throw this inside my presentation to give you some sort of a distraction thing, you know, how a question. It seems tricky, can be classified as tricky, but again, it's just to, you know, relax a little bit before we get into business here. One last thing. If you have seen this before, keep quiet, right? let's play this again with the people who have not done this yet. So there we go. Experts say, if you can find your name in this puzzle, then you are in the top 80% and one of the master's people in the world. See? You're a certified professional, right? If you got this one right. If you got this one right. When you pass a test, you become an MCP, a Microsoft Certified Professional, if the test is about Microsoft technologies. So if you get it, share. And that, again, that I get from Facebook. Now, as I said, all exams are timed. So I'm gonna time you here, look at the clock here. You're gonna have 20 seconds to find your name in this crossword here. It's there, all right? Find your name in this crossword here, 20 seconds. 2, 1, go. If you find your name, no, yeah, got 2, 3, oh, look at that. They're good. Yeah? All over. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Who found your name once? Who found it twice? Who found it 3 times? Now you see. There we go. So you see how distractors can separate people, right? When you just overlook it, when you go too fast over it. That's kind of the idea, right? There is one in here, there is one in here, and there is another one in here. Yeah, you see? It's fun, isn't it? You know? Taking exams is fun. I like it. I actually do it. Sometimes I do it for fun. I was a little tense before getting here, so you know what? I'm going to take an exam. So I registered in there, went to the booth, and took an exam. So now I'm relaxed. You know, my brain is fried. I can focus on only one thing. So actually, yeah, I'll tell you later some stories about taking exams at TechEd. So let's get to business here. Identify your certification goals. Actually, this one is the last slide about it. And again, the certification goals has everything to do about how you want to present yourself to the market, right? To the people who you relate in the technical community, and also to potential opportunities, right? Potential job opportunities. Like I said, I'm from Brazil, and just a personal testimony here. Back in 1998, Microsoft released SQL Server 7.0. And I was down there in Brazil, and I was invited to be in the group who first got certified in SQL Server 7.0. Was actually SQL Server version 1, because it's the first one built by Microsoft, right? So I got involved. I was seduced by the dark side of the force, got certified, and wow, hey, I'm now a DBA. Back then, I was a Microsoft certified database administrator in SQL Server. The next year, they started this awesome community called SQL Pass. And if you're a SQL the professional, right, you got to be involved with SQL Pass. And I went there for the inaugural conference. And I started giving my business card around. And just because I started giving my business card around and people noticed my certification, I got, on that conference, I got 4 job offers. Oh, you got certified. You know this thing already. You want to come and work with us? Hey, Armando, that was in 1999, you know, the dot-com bubble. You know what, haven't burst yet, so business was good, market was okay. So I'm going to tell you again, four or five months ago, don't quite remember exactly, there was a post from Microsoft to the MCP community saying, if you are certified in Azure, we have a job for you. On that particular email, they posted they are looking for 400 certified people in Azure. So, it does help, right? It does showcase yourself. So let's get to business here. How do you get prepared for an exam? Any kind of exam. First thing you do, say that again? 487? Wrong there. I got a bunch of issues with this slide deck. I didn't make it. It was handed to me. I threw some stuff. I correct a few things. But this one, thanks for pointing out. I did miss it. So I got this slide deck here in a bit. Let me pop up here the browser. As I said, you know, we're not supposed to do much demos in here. But this one here, I'm also a Microsoft certified trainer. I love to be in the classroom and share knowledge with people. And this is one of the things you do to get ready for an exam, any kind of an exam. Just last week, this student came to me and said, that was a great tip. Say, okay, I will remember to throw that in the presentation next week, which is today. So exam 732, Microsoft. That should get us there. So there we are. 432, 732. Whoa, it didn't. Exam, it's 532, my bad. There we go. Developing Microsoft Azure solutions. And this is the exam. So to get ready for the exam, as you can see, my slide deck that was in here is going to come back in a bit, is completely based on this information here, right? What is this information? The objectives, the exam objectives. Like I said, hey, I want to get ready for an Azure exam, development Azure exam. How many services are there in Azure? Over 30. Last time I counted. Over 30. And there are APIs for each one of them. So how do I get ready for something like that that keeps growing all the time, keeps changing all the time? You see what doesn't move. These are the services that we will be examined on, right? These are the topics we'll be examined on. And this goes for any other test from Microsoft, right? This level of test we're talking about. So you come in here and you see what they're seeing here is there is this particular main topic, design and implementing web apps, and probably around 15 to 20% of your questions will be on this topic. And this topic covers all of these items in here. So now it's easy. I copy and paste this thing. In my case, I copy and paste this thing to OneNote. Right, make it a list and just start crossing the things I already work with, if I'm in this business already, and the things I don't know about, I start Googling around, you know, go to MSDN, get a book about it, and if I can afford to get the exam simulation there for Measure Up, and then get myself ready for the exam. Does that make sense? I mean, it's not like a black box that you really don't know what's going to come out of there, or Pandora box, or whatever you want to call it, right? You know what's going to come out. You don't know the questions, but you know you can know the subjects. So let me get my PowerPoint slide back here. There we go. And F5. F5 will get me to the beginning here. So there we go. See the same thinking there. So let's go and dive on each one of them for the rest of this session. And I'll try to share you my best tips about getting ready for each one of them. So the first one in here, the topics, right? So the first one there is the web apps. So what we have about the web apps in there? Well, they talk about deployments, configuration, diagnostics, web jobs, scaling, and resilience. And here goes another important information for you guys who are developers. Again, assuming I'm talking to a developer audience. So for you guys who are developers, the session before this one here was about C#. And we as developers, we are in Visual Studio Code. And even Azure, there is a service there in Azure called DevTests or DevLabs that it abstracts everything else in Azure and lets you focus only on your code. Right? Don't create the virtual machine. The virtual machine kind of have a template there for you. Someone creates a template there for you. And you just jump into Visual Studio and start coding. But as a matter of fact, what in real world, what happens is you guys and me, as a developer, we, in this particular test, we have to master some of the networking. We used to develop our applications, handle to IT, they put up IIS server somewhere, and they get it going. But with DevOps approaches and things like that, we get to know, and Microsoft made sure they test us on that in here, on things about like deployment, not develop, but deployment and configuration of our applications. So what about hosting? Is it IIS running the back end? Yes, it is. But deploying to Azure is very different and actually more fun than deploying to a local bare-bone IIS. Like in Azure, we have this concept of slots. Who doesn't love slots? Well, you're awake. Okay, I was expecting someone to, because I love slots, right? I mean, they're fun. You can create as many slots as you want, depending on the size of your subscription, right? The level of your subscription. You can get like 5, 10, 20, 50 slots. You can create these slots and give to people so they can test. And if you have multiple development teams, they can deploy to particular slots and you can concatenate them as you move along to a final build, right? It's an awesome, awesome feature, right, in Azure.
Are there going to be questions on specific numbers? In particular, the book says one thing, and the current production portal is a different thing, and I would really need to have to know how many storage accounts I need to get for this many IOPS.
Okay, so for the record, the question is, do I have to know specifics about subscription levels? Is that right?
No. So, you have a book. So, I have a book. Write a book. Not a problem. The book says you get 4 slots plus 1 actual production. You just said you have 10 or more.
It depends. The amount of slots depends on the subscription level. So if you have free, you have 1 slot. If you have basic, you have 1 slot. Actually, there is a slide about that. So to go to the point of your question is, you do have to know the capability of the Azure features, right? That could be in your exam, right? Whatever shows on the interface. So yes, for these slots, it does go on the interface. I'm not sure if I have a screenshot of that. So you know what? I've been there once, so I'm going to keep going there every time I feel like it. I'm going to call here the portal, portal.azure.com, and alacerda@outlook.com. Got to wait. But yes, you have to know that. Because when you go into the interface and the exam, although there is no simulator in the exam, you don't do command line in the exam, the exam will have some screenshots you're going to interact with. And some of the screenshots may be about this topic, this particular topic you're talking about, and you have to choose the right subscription level for whatever the company needs in that particular question. So you do, all right? The specific answer to your question is yes, you have to know that. So the problem you have reason, you know, I got this book and I got, you know, this literature somewhere else and they are discrepant, go to the portal. Take a look on the portal before you go there. And on the exam page, they're going to make a change in here. We've been talking about that lately. They're going to make a change in here. There is always, you see it over here? Do I have Zoom in here? Let me see. No, I don't. So you see it over here? Published. Can you read it there? Right? Data of published. This is the data when the exam was first published, and it is refreshed from time to time. They're going to add the refresh time, not just when it was first published, right? So you know what they're talking about. So is the latest feature that came out last week in the exam? More likely not. But 6 months from now, probably, because it's not that new anymore.
Yeah, I think they put the date lower down of what date.
Is that the refresh date already? Have they implemented that already? Let's see.
Yeah, so up higher.
Up higher. There we go. There we go. Thank you, sir. We good? We clear? Very good. Thanks for the question. And, you know, we are on the clock here. So I would, just for me to be able to cover everything we have in here, I would like to answer all your questions. So if you can save them for the end, it would be great. All right? All right. So slots. Slots is one thing, and hosting and the options for hosting and the web plans. And also important to keep in mind the difference between when you got to the web application, right? You have the web jobs and the worker, right? And the workers we have in there. So we have scalability for this, you know, each one of them, and particular service levels for each one of them. What about deployment? What kind of deployments can we do, and what are the specifics about the deployments? Right, and one of the things about the deployments is the configuration files that go. You know, there is a configuration for the service, there is a configuration for the application. There are a bunch of distinct configurations, and the file names, they kind of sound alike most of the time. So be, as I said, have your mind fresh with the names before you go to the test to take your exam, because sometimes I myself, it's my personal experience, I get tricked all the time by namings. I'm horrible with names. And it's just, you know, one of my flaws. Just to give you an idea, back in the days, and back in 2000, back before year 2000, there was a MCSE certification for Windows 2000, Windows NT 4.0. And there were 7 exams you have to pass. And the first one, the easiest one of them, was one called Network Essentials. And I loved that class. I taught that class a lot. And I went for the exam. When I started my exam, taking my exam, I said, this is going to be easy. And I failed on the very first try. So, okay, I'm going to leave it to the end. I'm going to do the other ones now. And I took all other exams, and I passed all of them first shot. When I went back to Network Essentials, I failed again second time. And then I was mad and ashamed. How come? And when I start reflecting about what happened, say, you know what? It's the names. You know, I'm getting confused with the names. So I got 1,500 pages. Back then there was no digital content. So I got 1,500 pages of content, and I started memorizing from the book all the names and the connectors, the, you know, the standards and everything else. And I went third time for the exam, and I nailed it 100%. So naming is a very important trick. Think that they can trick our brains, because they're not that used to memorize full names anymore, especially here. So when you do web deploy, when you do VSO, when you do files, which kind of files do I need to have in order to implement a worker, right? Which kind of a compression is there for worker or for the web role? So you got to keep that in mind. You got to be sure about those things. One of the elements that's in there, this all these topics, they came from that web page I just showed you, right? So one of them is continuous deployment. So as people, as my application start getting better and better, as developers start getting adding more features to my applications, how do I get the delta, not redeploy the whole application? How can I get people to test my application without disturbing production? This very common kind of questions we get in there. And again, there's lots coming in place in here. And the method of deploying applications to our host, right, to Azure web application also come into play. In the course, I mean, in the website, you're going to see all of these possibilities in here, right? You can be in your test, may not be on your test. But again, that's the goal of the test, to force us, to push us to be ready to use the technology. It's not because it's going to show up in the test. I will, if I go for this track here, I will understand that I have these things to take care of and be aware of. And I have more friends coming up. another thing that's in the top there that's very important is about collecting performance count. I mean, I shouldn't say performance counters because this sounds like Windows, right? But I must be able to collect the performance information, the logs that Azure can collect from the ports, from the TCPs. And as I said, we have this screenshot in here. When you're getting ready for the test, you see something like that, say, okay, if I want to get deployment details or performance details about my website, is it going up there? I have to go to deployment details and see the log that's in there, or download the log to my local computer and check it from there. Remember, there are questions that will ask you to put tasks in order, steps of a task in order. So it's not just where I find that, but how do I get there, right? There is no simulator on exam, so you're not going to get the portal and start clicking around to get there. There will be options with steps, and you have to organize them in the solution area. Does that make sense, right? So understand the steps is another important thing to get ready for this exam and for that matter for all other exams. Configuration hierarchy, what we do in the web config, we upload to the slot, and we rule our website, our web application in there, until someone goes in there in the application settings in Azure and tweak it differently for production and also in the Azure runtime settings. Got to be, they just mentioned it to you, so keep that in mind when going for the exam. In the exam item, you may have an element that will have some distractors, but we will imply these overlap things, and we have to figure out which one makes sense, right? Which one is actually applied for the website when it's in production. So integrates with the configuration slot, right there. The site settings, the configuration slot in there. It applies for all technologies, ASP.NET, PHP, Node.js. Am I going to have PHP code in my website? You know, in my exam? Am I going to have Python or something like that? Again, remember, it may have distractors, right? They may mention, but remember, we are doing web development for Azure, right? Keep your focus on the subject and not the technology. So I'm not saying if you're going to have or not going to have. I cannot really state that. But you know, these are options, and the Azure web applications do support that. Armando, Azure web applications, web apps, they do support that, but you know, I don't program in these things. I don't code in this other language. I code in C#. And me too. We are in the same boat in here. But remember what I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago. We, as developers for the cloud, we are required to master some management aspects of the technology hosting our applications, right? You are going to be required to get that. You may be required to go into IP subnetting. Because when you get into these things, you have to create a resource group, you got to create a virtual network, and you got to create subnets. So, you know, be prepared to work with the architects there in the subnet and everything else, right? So it's there. It's in your exam items there, the objectives in there. Diagnostics is also important. The 400 error higher. What is about the 400 errors? The 400 errors are disturbances in the cloud. You know, one of the things about developing for the cloud is a service that is there may blimp, you know, was up, back on. And then you are reading from a blob storage or from a table storage or something like that. And during the read, it fails. In a regular, you know, desktop application, on-premise service application would just fail. You know, the network fail, that's it. But that is very common. I mean, not very common, but can happen quite often in a cloud environment. So you have to have techniques for retries. You have in your code is one of the things we mentioned when we are teaching this kind of a technology. You have to be ready to retry a couple times or how many times you like if some kind of error like 400 errors goes on, because it can be just a blip, you know, network glitch going on, but doesn't mean the thing is offline. Web application settings, you know, make sure you understand the concepts of always on. Ensure the site is always ready, warm for people to use, so they don't have to wait, you know, for the .NET to compile the whole thing there before it goes on. You know, we have this feature, right, to compile in multiple chipsets, not just for one chipset. So get ready, you know, keep that in mind. Security also when implementing for security, and off we go. Every time I look for the clock, I see, okay, you've got much things to cover. Uploading a certificate, that's another important thing. Uploading a certificate. When was the last time you uploaded a certificate to your workstation when you were developing? I never did. To my workstation, just self-signed, right? But again, this is in Azure, and you have to test your application in Azure. You're going to deploy application to Azure, and it's required HTTPS. What is needed to have my slot replying to HTTPS calls, right? Without getting these errors about certifications invalid and things like that. So be ready. This is not development. Well, now it is. Deployment slots, we have discussed a lot about the deployment slots. This was one of the slides that was an error in here. There was a standard on both bullets in here, but actually to any staging is only on premium, right? Not on standard. And the swap options we have for these slots. Auto-scaling, another very, very important. Have you watched that How Old, not use the website, but watch the How Old video that was presented on Build, right, 2014, I think. Build 2014. Have you seen the behind the scenes of that website? Make a note of that, right? Because they have very, very valuable content about this particular subject. And when I'm teaching classes and getting people ready to take this exam, this is one of the things I showed them, how this thing can be really, really useful. You know, how a website that was meant just for a demonstration became a web sensation. So, and it was able to, you know, uphold all of the requests because of this auto-scaling feature we have in Azure. Web apps. Traffic manager is another case that it's not code, it's not involved in code. There is nothing that we don't do any code for that, but it's a topic in your exam. And I hope, guys, you guys get motivated to take this exam. It's not like, hey, this is not development at all, I'm not gonna take this. Believe me, it's how development will look like. Actually, Microsoft is kind of a, you know, behind the scenes giving a lot of a push for IT people to become some sort of developers. Because in this particular test here, although, you know, it's development, it's web applications, but guess what? You're gonna have PowerShell questions. Because some of these things in here, if you look in the objective domains there on the web page, some of these things here, they're managed through the web interface, but they always be able to be managed by PowerShell. So you will have questions on PowerShell. And PowerShell is the common ground between developers and IT people, right? That's really, really the border, right, if you know what I mean, between IT and programming. Because you can do C# code there if you like. So understanding DNS and the kind of records you have to create. When you create a web app, the domain is that Azure default domain there, right? But nobody wants to keep that. You want to have your own custom domain. So what's needed? What DNS changes is needed? Like it's saying already there, right? The CNAME there. What kind of changes needed so I can have my own domain name like contoso.com instead of the default name that comes when we create web applications. So things you have to know, you have to be prepared to answer questions on. Traffic Manager, very important feature. You know, when public traffic going through your web application should be redirected to on-premise and backwards. So important thing to keep in there, kind of too complex to go through now, and time is flying. And also our web jobs. I have a customer who runs web jobs, and I asked them, hey, have you done an application for Azure already? And they said, yeah, we have done a bunch of robots going on in there. So how did you do it? Well, they just took their EXE files and the job files, and they upload as web jobs, and they just keep triggering them. Say, okay, cool, that's a way to start. But you know, there's so much more you can do about that. So web jobs is something on exam as well. So upload has a zip file, the type of jobs you can have. Hey, Armando, am I going to see, again, Python coding there, or you know, Node.js or something like that? I really don't know. But I you know PowerShell is a Microsoft technology, and .NET is a Microsoft technology. You know, the CMD is a Microsoft technology too, the batch files. I think there's a good chance you're going to answer some questions about those. And about scheduling, another thing, it's in Visual Studio. We have templates for those, but it has more to do with infrastructure, right? How to parameterize the elements that are running in the background there for scheduling. It can be all parameterized using some JSON files. You got to be ready to understand the structure of these JSON files, right? Otherwise, you may not understand the question. Configuring the web, run continuously or run by events, triggered by events, right? Is another thing to keep in mind. All of these details. You see, I cannot really go into the technology because so many things going on in there. But what I'm trying to do here, all of us doing these exam prep sessions here, is to wake up you like, I don't do this, but you're going to be questioned. You're going to have questions about this. So you better go for it and understand it. Here's a tip for me for you. On the building A, we have the labs, hands-on labs, right? Go there, try some labs on these things, and you have access to those virtual machines for 6 months. And when you go there, you get an Azure Pass, you know, I think it's $50, and you can try these things. Like, I don't do this in my work. If I try to do something on my work, I may break something. Don't do that. That's not what I'm implying. You know, get a Azure Pass from hands-on labs or some other sources and use this aside. I actually once I have a student in my classroom, and there is a command we're running there to wipe out everything you have done and get the Azure subscription ready, you know, wiped out for the next lab. And this guy came and logged in with his own account and wiped out his proof of concept. It wasn't working for 3 months. So don't mix up, right? Create a new account and you know, start clean slot so you can throw it away later. So here's a teaser. Let's work with another one. This one was not me. Someone else who created this slide deck already have done it for us. So let's work with this one again here, guys. And remember, in this session here, it's not about get the right question. In this session here, it's to try to figure out these four elements in the question. Remember, what are the four elements? Business, goal, is that right? The business statement, the goal, the answers, the possible answers, and the, you got the distractors. Uh-huh. So there we go. You have an Azure web app. You need to perform load testing on the web app. The testing must not impact the current web app. What should you do? Any distractors? No, you go for an answer already. There we go. But have you spot any distractor in there? Me neither. I don't think there is any distractor in this one. This was pretty straightforward. Sometimes it does, right? This one, whoever wrote this, no distractions this time around. So we have one for D, create a new Azure virtual machine. Has a distractor. I see. Yeah, usually distractors, they are in the statement of the question, right? What we have here in the options can be distracting thing because of they don't go for misspelling, but close names. Sometimes names are, but again, these are intended for accuracy. Any guess? A? What's A? Create new deployment slot, choose the existing deployment slot, has the configuration source, run the test against the new deployment slot. Sounds interesting. C? Create a new Azure web app, copy the configuration settings to the new site, and run the test against the new site. So there we go.
So when you make a
perfect. Now we see some distractors, right? In the questions, like he mentioned, right? They're very similar elements. Would you agree? They're very similar elements, but precision is what cuts off in here, right? Makes the cut. We good? All right. So that was the first one. Next one here, out of four, and I have 25 minutes, great, virtual machines. So what kind of questions are we going to have about the virtual machines? Deployment of work, deployment and workloads, images, configurations, management. Let's see some of them. So overview, management options, portal, PowerShell, recipe. Like I said, you are going to have questions using PowerShell, questions related to PowerShell. So, you know, get familiar with PowerShell, ISE, and these guys. They're going to be your friend for the exam if you are not friends already. and understand the differences in how they apply about the virtual network, the cloud service, the virtual machine. There will be questions like, okay, so you are a developer, a web developer for your company. You have an application running on-premise, and you want to get that application to, let's say, you know, to the cloud. And the restrictions on getting that application to the cloud is the application must not change. It must run the way it is. How are you going to get that application to the cloud? You're going to virtualize that computer, if it's not virtualized already, right? So you're going to create, a virtual hard drive, a VHD file. And most important of all, very tricky, you have to generalize that virtual hard drive, right? This is very IT thing, you know, running sysprep. You know, who knows about sysprep? The IT guy does, right? I'm not friends with sysprep. Now you are, because if you want to get that image there and upload it, I just did this the other day for one of my clients. He needs a particular virtual machine to run up in the cloud, so I create a virtual machine in the cloud, download it to my computer, did all the tweaks to my computer to save some money, and then upload the virtual machine up to the cloud, and, you know, client is happy. But we have to generalize it. What else? Deployments. So you may have questions about the virtual machine depot, right? To get templates in there and how to customize those templates. There is a PowerShell code going on in there. Creating a virtual machine based on a template. There we go. You know, you have access to this PowerShell. You have access to this PowerPoint slides later, right? You can download from the website later. So, what are the methods I can upload images to Azure if I'm going for a VM, right? You see, I'm creating a web application, but I'm going for a VM. I'm not actually creating a web app, but I'm creating a VM and actually getting one of my servers up in the cloud, running my web application now from the cloud. So how do I get the file there? How can I get the virtual hard drive there?
EasyCop
is an option. Are there other options? REST API, there are calls we can make. We can send the virtual machine on a hard drive to them, and they copy to a blob storage there for us, right? There are many ways. There are many ways, so we gotta be ready, right? Because, you know, you can have a question in a way you're not expecting. And again, it's all about understanding the options you have so you can use the best option on a particular scenario. Pricing is all important. Back to the question about subscription levels, right? Pricing is very important. You may get questions that will ask, you know, what, you know, I want a solution that's cost effective. So, you know, it's not just getting the best one up there, but the one that will meet my objectives, but will not be that costly. So kind of a thing you have to have in mind. This one here, DSC, very important one, right? that can carry along with my virtual machine. I want my virtual machine running these services all the time, or not running those other services all the time. So DSC is something that is in your exam objective. Linux. You may be lucky and get some questions about Linux too. Have you seen the logo? Microsoft loves Linux, right? The little heart in there. So we may get one. But you see, not much specific, right? Very generic. They have just two topics in there. Prepare to upload and configure the VM, which is more to do, you know, with configurations of the demos, right, running in the VM. Availability sets. Make sure that your virtual machine doesn't stop working if there is an outage in the data center, right, one of the Microsoft data centers. And you know the thing about region, right? You have the data center. You may have one data center for the region. You may have multiple data centers. For the same region, and then you have your availability sets created by limited, either within the region or across regions, right? So you have to master that too. The premium storage about SSDs, right? And the speed when you need to deploy your web application has a VM with high performance, so there are options in there for the SSD. So DS subscription level. Once again, the details about the subscription level that was asked before. That was a great question. And stored replication options. Which one is the more expensive one? Just out of the blue. The bottom one, right? It's great to use. Yeah, it's great to use. But again, look into the question. The question will tell you, I want to have high availability, right, in my web application. I could use, you know, the bottom two ones, but which one is the right one? There's always something that'll tell you which one you should use when both two or more seems to fit the case. Okay? How to control access to the virtual machine, the access control list for the security, and here's the end of this section. So let's try it again. We have three more after this one here. This is fun, right? This is really fun. Kind of gave it away, but you have an Azure VM named VM1. VM1 has an attached volume which uses a storage pool. You need to implement replication. What type of replication should you choose? Oh, that's taking longer. Because not such for development, right? It's an IT thing. And there's a great chance you're going to have this kind of question in your exam. Any guess? A? I got an A here? Very good. Good guess. You passed that one. All right. Again, guys, we can open for discussions on why the other ones are not, you know, this one here. But the point here is to clarify what to expect and how to get ready for the exam. So the next topic here, in the middle of it, the cloud service. So there will be some questions about how to design, configure, deploy, and monitor your cloud service. Understand the elements involving the cloud service and how to get things in the cloud service. See Team Foundation Service mentioned over here, and the infrastructure there up in the cloud, right in the cloud service, and the boundaries for the cloud services in terms of security and integration of communication of the elements belong to the cloud service. So all of those are important. And here they are again, right, about the web role and the worker role running on their VMs and how they are triggered. And with that, we have the coding, right, specific for the worker, not for the website, but the worker that's doing the hard work behind the scenes, behind the beautiful face of my website, right? So, you know, the events I have in there, which one should I overwrite on a particular situation when I want to implement a particular behavior? So, there we go. Configuration. Well, what about this configuration here, right? This guy here for the cloud service. So you got the endpoints, we got very important here. It's not highlighted in there, should be. So let me get this guy here, right? Black is okay. Let me click and do, there we go. Right? This one here is important, very important option when doing configuring your web roles. You know how big the virtual machine will be because this involves cost, right? For the company who is doing this, it would define the processing power of this guy and the connectivity down here, right? These guys in here. You know how XML files are verbose? So there's a bunch of tags in here. There are a bunch of tags in here that really are just for the structure. But these attributes on these particular elements in the particular tags, they are very important too, right? So make sure you understand, you know, which, look at this. This guy is doing HTTPS on port number 80, right? Sounds like, well, port 80, HTTPS, you sure? Well, can be done, can be done. And again, this could be a distractor, right? You don't agree, but it's not about you agreeing or not. It's about how to accomplish what they ask. Get a point? Got a point? All right, moving on. This one here, again, web deploy, PowerShell, and the command line interface, right, for Unix machines. These are options we have for deployment. And here we go for another one. And this one is the one that I like. This one's good. You deploy an Azure web role. You need to configure cloud service diagnostics. What file should you update? And like he mentioned before, we got the distractors here. They seem to be in the collection of possible answers, right? In my selection. C, web config. I got a C. Again, we're trying to have some fun with the right answer. But my real goal here is to, you know, warn you to get you aware of things that will distract you when you're doing the exam, right? So app.config, app.config and web.config. Can this distract people? Well, if you don't know, you know, I'm doing this case here, I'm not doing a web application. You know, maybe it depends if I'm doing a role. So I'm running EXE. So either one, right? If it's a web, it's going to be one. If it's an EXE, it's going to be the other, right? So it can be distracting. You're sitting there for about 2 hours, you know, answering questions, and switching contacts all the time. It can be a little distracting. You see? Got the point? All right, one before the last, working with the storages and doing the right options for storage. And there are some other options in there, but you see, these are the ones that will be in your test, that can be in your test. So you got not just to choose which storage for a particular scenario or particular question, like blobs or tables or queues, but also, this is important, right? How to do the access control. You know those shared keys, you know the common shared keys we have in there? These are also going to be in your test, I mean, possibly in your test, right? And how to monitor access and behavior of the of these controls. And Azure SQL databases. You may have questions on Azure SQL databases as well. Which kind of questions? You know, database design and these things? No. Right, more likely because of what you can see in the objective domains there. More likely is about how to manage SQL Server, how to get connected, how to keep the connection secure. These are all written there as tips for you to get ready for the exam. Right, so it's not about a database exam. There's no. I cannot tell for sure. As I said, sometimes I, you know, stumbling my own words. I cannot tell it's not going to be a question about database design. Well, could have, right? But the main goal is about the service, what the service can do, and option about deploying the service, like in terms of performance, in terms of scalability, right? And how much data the service can store. So blob files. Who found weird the name tables for NoSQL, right, in Azure? I gotta tell you, you know, the first time I worked with this thing, I said, tables, you know, how do I create the tables? Oh, no, it's not tables, it's not unstructured data, right? It's no table. So be ready for these things. Blob, when you use block, blob, when you use page, blob, and append, blob, be ready for this guy. SMB support, right, when you do files. What else in here? Oh, this is a good example here in this slide about numbers. And again, these numbers keep changing. Actually, I didn't double check the detail of this slide, what's current offered since of June, right? But we have to go back to the website. And if you're preparing for an exam, you know, taking more than 2 months to take that exam, you have to refresh before going for the exam, right? Because it may have changed in Azure. So what is in here? Oh, this is very important. This one here, the first one they put in here, is something that's usually a hot topic, right? About the replications and you know, high availability of these guys here, right? So this topic here is kind of important to make sure you are good. And as I mentioned before about the, to copy the thing, right, the VM to the storage, someone mentioned is copy, right? But we, look, we do have also the, whoop, mouse disappeared. We also have here, where's my mouse? Oh, right there, the REST APIs. So make sure you understand the REST APIs to have access to the storage. And remember about resiliency. Resiliency is on the list of topics in this exam, right? Especially when you work with storage, it may, you know, hiccup, and your code must be okay to deal with those hiccups. Some code here about to get the container, if the container is not there, and go, you know, create it and things like that. All right, so NoSQL, entities, tables, and accounts, and the token to get in there, and the options to get in there, right? All data, kind of a hot topic nowadays, so it's good to be aware of it. Inserting data into the table storage, the API is there. By the way, I'm going to correct this later. I thought I have corrected this one here. There is a link in here. Previous slides have already shown it. There is a link in there, but when they apply the theme, you got everything in blue, but the link is there, right? So when you get this, if you get something blue like that, just change the background and you're gonna see a link in there with more information about these things. What else? Queues, how to work with queues. Queues is a very important topic for the cloud for resiliency. So, you know, don't underestimate queues subject, right? They are important, and there are levels of queues in terms of capabilities, right, in Azure. So make sure you understand that, and you know when to use one, and for mobile devices, mobile applications, we got some other ones too for the event hub and things like that. How to post a message in there, how to change the message in there, updates. And the storage access, what's needed for the storage access. The partition key for the tables. Yeah, pretty straightforward. There's no big deal here. It's just about, remember I told you, I'm gonna circle back to the beginning all the time. Armando, in my web application, no, we do blobs. We don't do NoSQL, or we don't do queues. But you're gonna be asking on that, so make sure you make time to go to the computer and type these things. Right, to write code on these things, although you don't use in everyday work, you make, because when you go for the exam, there is a great chance you see some code on that, and if you haven't seen it before, you're gonna be insecure, right? You're gonna be, oh, what now? Which one is the right one? Access control, the tokens, and in here, the permissions. Very important to understand when the permissions are overwritten, right? When one is gone, if you update a shared token through the API, what happens to that shared token for the other people connecting to that blob storage, you know, they lose connection. And we have multiple shared keys, remember? Gotta keep that in mind too. And here the last one about the SQL database and the subscriptions. The DTU thing, it's a very specific topic, right? The DTU in here is pretty much for performance. But, you know, understanding the DTU for real-world scenarios is very, very important. I'm glad I did that so I can answer questions, specific questions when people say, which DTU, you know, which machine level should I get? Which SQL database, Azure SQL database subscription should I get? And here's the slide I told you we had in the slide deck, right? About the capability of the SQL databases, you know, the sizes. I was doing this consulting for this financial company down there in the Bay Area. I live there in San Francisco now. And this is one of the things in there. You know, they're deploying this thing. We have this database we use in here. We want to have the whole database to the into the cloud, right? We're going to get this thing into the cloud. So they get to go to a particular subscription level because of storage, not specifically because of performance. Replication options, active geo-replication, expensive but very important for more resiliency on the database. And here the one before the last. So what have you seen here in this these previous topics? This particular one here, code to manage the services. You see that? Have you noticed that? Code to manage. Services we don't work every day, but it's important to have the knowledge of this code and practice with them before you go for the exam. So here's one more for you, guys. You have an Azure storage table. You are creating a new web application that will access the table. The application will be hosted on a web server on your local network. You need to ensure the application can access the storage table. What should you do? That wasn't much fun, right? But I say, it was a. Well, C is important. We gotta have the you gotta have the key, right, to access that. But look, you have an Azure Storage table. You are creating a new web application that will access this table. The application will be hosted on a web server on your local network. These two options here, a new one, which assumes a pre-existing one, and the application will be hosted on local instead of on premises, right, instead of the cloud, they require cross Orange resource. Take more on that on me, right? Send me an email, I send you some links about that. And the last one, again, not much into programming, but more into infrastructure. Networks and authorization for the networks. And this guy here is kind of, it's not actually new, but we have this thing that was not there before. If you are preparing for this thing for a long time, you may have not noticed that now we have service accounts in Azure Active Directory, and this can be in your exam too. Cloud apps, yeah. So Active Directory authenticating everyone. SQL Server used to support only SQL authentication, right? Now SQL Server does support Azure Active Directory authentication as well. So it's important to be up to date with these things. The exam, since it was released in June, and this thing came in May, I think, or June, can be there. It could be there. All the possible connectivities you have for your network up in the cloud. Usually when I'm teaching this class to prepare for this exam here, we spend a lot of time on this because just because it has developers, we don't pay much attention to this. But we are creating, we are the IT people for our application. We are creating a VPN, a network, and therefore you have to have connectivity to our either on-premise or even other networks up in the cloud for other cloud services, right? So you have to create gateways in between them. So it's a point-to-site connectivity or a site-to-site connectivity that could involve express routes. So the details about that, you see, you have to go. This is the point where I mentioned you may have to go into the IP subnetting, right? You may have to go to IP subnetting in order to guarantee that the resources can connect to, can see each other, right? They can communicate to each other. Like you could have a case where you have two networks, dev, production, and both networks must use a common service. They cannot see each other, but they must see the common service. So which IP subnetting am I supposed to do to allow this kind of communication? Right? Believe me, it's part of this possible kind of questions you have. You see, it's right here, and this was made out of the objective content for this exam. The service bus, you know, the options you have for the service bus, the queues, the topics, the relay, the notification hubs for mobile devices, and so on. service bus queues versus storage queues, you know, who is more capable than the other, the reliability, and not the reliability, but the performance and the scalability, that's the word I was looking for before, on each one of them, important to keep in mind. Sending a service bus queue, this code, how to use the service bus, and how to monitor the communication if things are failing, how to get that information from there. And once again, for the last time, be ready to answer these kind of questions using PowerShell, right? You're gonna build the PowerShell command. Again, there is no typing. So it's like put in order, fill up parameters. You know, you gotta be ready to answer things about PowerShell. And also REST API if it comes to show up. But REST API is more into our, you know, our area, you know, our backyard, you know, code. But PowerShell, not so much from most of the developers I work with. And also caching here, be careful, right? Be very, very aware of the possible Redis cache. If you're not using this resource, use it, right? You have some hands-on on it. Not to put in your application, but you know, have some hands-on, have some code on it to make sure you understand the namespaces they apply to and things like that. And the last one, to wrap up our session here, right on time, 9, 8, you have 5 seconds, 4, 3. Okay, you have a notification hub, you are creating a custom application that will display telemetry in a web app. You need to ensure the application can access telemetry data. What should you do? What should you do? There we go. Security channels are required in there. So with that, I hope my goal for this one here is to have, you know, really get you in the mood like, you know what? It's going to be challenging. It's going to be something that I'm not used to do, and it's going to be something that will add up to my career, will make me a better professional, right? Because I'll be handling things, more things, and studying for more things than I usually do on my everyday work. Some exam tips in there on the slide deck. And please don't forget to fill up the evaluation form, right? At the end, there is the QR code in there. I hope it has been a good session for you guys. If you have any questions, I'll be standing by here after I say goodbye, all right? So enjoy the rest of the conference. See you around. Thank you.